Blog Talk Radio. You are listening to Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. It is Thursday, January 5th of 2023. Today we are talking about the Seven Seals Prophecy in the Book of Revelation. I'll be sharing analyses and presentation of the Seven Seals Prophecy, one of 12 statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation. For the month of January, we will be focusing exclusively on the Seven Seals Prophecy. It begins with verse 1 of chapter 5 in the book of Revelation, and it ends with verse 1 of chapter 8. On Sunday's program, the first January, the first Sunday of this January, we examined verses 5 to 10 of chapter 5, and there are 9 Sundays and Thursdays in this month. And so the Seven Seals Prophecy has so much content, I don't see where I am able to really get to the meat of it verse by verse in a singular program. And so my plan and what I began on Sunday is sharing with you verse-by-verse analysis of this Seven Seals Prophecy. We began with looking at verses 5 to 10, and today we will continue talking about the Seven Seals Prophecy. So to begin, I'd like to share that prophecy with you, and then let's go into analysis and discussion. So an overview of our time for today. Let's hear the Seven Seals Prophecy in its entirety, and then I'd like to share some about the geography of how the Seven Seals Prophecy is set up, and then we'll go to drill down analysis verse by verse of some of the verses in this prophecy, so that if you have a chance to listen live or from the archive to every program in January, you will hear in-depth analysis and discussion of every verse of the Seven Seals Prophecy. So here it is, reading from the New Living Translation, the Seven Seals Prophecy of the Book of Revelation. Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and open it?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. Then I began to weep bitterly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its 7 seals." Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the 4 living beings and among the 24 elders. He had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which represent the sevenfold Spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the 4 living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words: "You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seal and open it, for you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne, and of the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, they sang, "Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living beings said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb. As I watched, the Lamb broke the first of the seven seals on the scroll. Then I heard one of the four living beings say with a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked up and saw a white horse standing there. Its rider carried a bow, and a crown was placed on his head. He rode out to win many battles and gain the victory. When the Lamb broke the second seal, I heard the second living being say, "Come." Then another horse appeared, a red one. Its rider was given a mighty sword and the authority to take peace from the earth. And there was war and slaughter everywhere. When the Lamb broke the third seal, I heard the third living being say, "Come." I looked up and saw a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice from among the four living beings say, "A loaf of wheat bread or three loaves of barley will cost a day's pay. And don't waste the olive oil and wine." When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the fourth living being say, "Come." I looked up and saw a horse whose color was pale green. Its rider was named Death, and his companion was the grave. These two were given authority over one-fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and famine and disease and wild animals. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of all who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony. They shouted to the Lord and said, "O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they have done to us?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters, their fellow servants of Jesus, who were to be martyred, had joined them. I watched as the Lamb broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun became as dark as black cloth, and the moon became as red as blood. The stars of the sky fell to the earth like green figs falling from a tree shaken by a strong wind. The sky was rolled up like a scroll, and all of the mountains and islands were moved from their places. Then everyone, the kings of the earth, the rulers, the generals, the wealthy, the powerful, and every slave and free person, all hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they cried to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to survive?" Then I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds so they did not blow on the earth or the sea or even on any tree. And I saw another angel coming up from the east, carrying the seal of the living God. And he shouted to those four angels who had been given power to harm land and sea, "Wait, don't harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have placed the seal of God on the foreheads of his servants." And I heard how many were marked with the seal of God. 144,000 were sealed from all the tribes of Israel, from Judah, 12,000, from Reuben, 12,000, from Gad, 12,000, from Asher, 12,000, from Naphtali, 12,000, from Manasseh, 12,000, from Simeon, 12,000, from Levi, 12,000, from Issachar, 12,000, from Zebulun, 12,000, from Joseph, 12,000, from Benjamin, 12,000. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. They sang, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the 24 elders asked me, "Who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." When the Lamb broke the seventh seal on the scroll, there was silence throughout heaven for about half an hour. That is the end of the seven seals prophecy of the book of Revelation. Let's begin with discussion and analysis of this prophecy. I want to share with you that always on the blogtalkradio.com/live prophetic website, so this is the Blog Talk Radio website where PGN has its archive of all the PGN programs. So you can go there to listen live, but you can also go to this website to see the archive. For this program, the one-page basic study notes are there for your use at any time. So let me share with you how those basic study notes work. I'm going to go there now just for a minute. So you don't need to use these during the live presentation and discussion necessarily. However, you may wish to do that. So when you go there to the link for this particular program, you will find the one-page basic study notes, which appear after the one page that has the title of this presentation as well as the PGN logo. So I'm bringing that up now, and I want to share with you what you will see. So when you click on the link and then you go to the first page, it says the Seven Seals Prophecy in the Book of Revelation. It has our PGN text number, which is 1-214-505-8719. Then it has our PGN phone number, which maybe as you know is 1-319-527-6027. You can use the phone number to connect live during the internet broadcast. You can use the text number 24/7 to text in your question or your comment about the Book of Revelation. On the second page are the basic study notes. So there are seven things that appear here: the name of the statement of prophecy discussed for this program, the location of the prophecy in the Book of Revelation. So you might say, well, what chapters, what verses are the seven seals prophecy? So if you don't remember those off of the top of your head, you can go to the basic study notes at any time to find that information. Also, under letter C, the location of the movie trailer in words for the specific statement of prophecy being discussed. So let me explain that briefly if it's your first time listening. By my analysis, I perceive that every statement of prophecy in the Book of Revelation, and there are 12, has two parts. The first part of a statement of prophecy is its abstract. And an abstract is essentially a brief summary of some larger work. In professional writing terms, we use the language abstract, but in everyday language, we can think of this as a movie trailer in words. So that's exactly what an abstract is. It's a movie trailer in words. So the movie trailer in words, the location of the movie trailer in words appears under letter C on the basic study notes. And then the location of the full report, in other words, the movie in its entirety for the Seven Seals Prophecy, is located, that information, under letter D on the basic study notes. And under letter E is a non-exhaustive list of key topics, which include the Seven Seals, the Four Horsemen, and the 144,000. Under letter F on our basic study notes, our keywords, phrases, and numbers for the entire statement of prophecy. And finally, under letter G, I list other statements of prophecies that, from my perspective, hang together with this particular statement of prophecy. So that information is there for you under the basic study notes. Let me share with you now that information as well. So the name of this statement of prophecy is the Seven Seals Prophecy. It is located in the Book of Revelation. It begins with verse 1 of chapter 5, and it ends with verse 1 of chapter 8. The movie trailer in words for the Seven Seals Prophecy is found in chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. The movie in its entirety, in other words, the full report of the Seven Seals Prophecy, is found beginning with verse 1 of chapter 6 and ending with verse 1 of chapter 8. So Revelation 6:1 to 8:1 includes the full report of the seven seals prophecy. Some of the key topics, a non-exhaustive list of key topics in this prophecy again, includes the seven seals, the four horsemen, and the 144,000. Additionally, some of the key words, phrases, and numbers in the seven seals prophecy are the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the pale green horse, 144,000, tribes of Israel, and wrath of God. Last, the other prophecy that hangs together with the seven seals prophecy is the seven trumpets prophecy, and that prophecy is found in Revelation chapter 8, verse 2, to chapter 11, verse 19. Okay, so thank you for your patience as I share some of that foundational information. I hope that it's useful to you. I want to go now to analysis and discussion of some of the verses in the Seven Seals prophecy. Today, let us take a look at verses 1 to 10 of the Seven Seals prophecy. These are verses in the movie trailer in words for the Seven Seals prophecy. There are several reasons to look at a movie trailer before you look at a movie. A movie generally is relatively long. It has many scenes. It typically covers a large period of time. And it has a lot of details. Researchers have found that one of the ways to help human beings process information, in other words, to go from simply perceiving auditory sound to having the information communicated in sound in our brains, to have that information downloaded successfully, processed where it has roots, it connects to other memories that exist in our brains, in our long-term memory, other pieces of information beyond memories that exist in our brain. That processing happens as a result of hearing information that is primed. So our brains need a way to hang detailed pieces of information. So when we hear a movie trailer in words, that creates, if you will, a coat rack in your brain and in my brain. And then later, when we come back to, or later when we come to the movie in its entirety, we have something to hang the many pieces of information that are provided in the movie in its entirety. So let me say that again. When you hear an abstract, which is simply a movie trailer in words, that puts, metaphorically speaking, a coat rack in your long-term memory. And then when you go beyond the movie trailer in words to hearing a much longer movie, the movie in its entirety, your brain has a way to organize that information, a way to hang all that detailed information in a way so that you don't lose it. And so the way that the book of Revelation is presented is that there are 12 visions that John was shown. These are curated events. So these are specific events that happen here on the present earth as well as in heaven over a period of time. And God decided specifically what events to show John. And so he was shown 12 documentaries, if you will, 12 statements of prophecy, 12 movies about the end of the age, the end of the world, as well as the new world to come, the new earth to come. When we look at each of these documentaries, each of these statements of prophecy, each of these movies that include predictions, warnings, and consolations, first, the statement of prophecy begins with its own movie trailer, and then it's followed by the full movie. And so when we look at the Seven Seals prophecy, its movie trailer includes all of chapter 5. And then from Revelation 6:1 to Revelation 8:1, we have the movie in its entirety. Let's begin with looking at the movie trailer for the Seven Seals prophecy. It says, "Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals." Let's pause there. So who's speaking in verse 1 of chapter 5? John the Revelator is speaking, and he's sharing with us what he saw when he was caught up to heaven. So in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, we're told that John the Revelator was instructed to come up here, and up here was heaven. And so John the Revelator goes from his location, and he was on the Isle of Patmos. He goes from that specific location on the earth to heaven. He's literally caught up to heaven. And in heaven, he is shown a series of visions by an angel. The angel showed John the Revelator these visions because the angel was instructed to do so by Jesus Christ. And so now, here, we're hearing the very first vision, the very first documentary. And the reason I use the language documentary is that a movie is a fictional account of some series of events. Documentaries, in contrast, are accounts of real events, specific certainties that have happened. And so in the same way, the book of Revelation includes essentially 12 documentaries that focus primarily on the Great Tribulation period, that's 3.5 years, as well as the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ, and a report of the new earth to come. And so here we are in the very first documentary given to John when he was caught up in heaven. And he tells us what he sees, and he sees a scroll, and a being is holding the scroll. Who's holding the scroll? It's the one who sits on the throne. That is God the Father. So we hear in the Bible, great is the mystery of the Godhead. I believe that's in 1 Timothy. Great is the mystery of the Godhead. There is God the Father who sits on the throne. There is the Son of God who's also the Son of Man. And the Son of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ serves in several roles. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. When he came to the earth the first time, he served in the role of Lamb of God. And when he comes the second time, with his second coming, he will be serving as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so, in heaven today, there's God the Father sitting on a throne, and John the Revelator saw God the Father sitting on the throne. In the right hand of God the Father, there was a scroll. And John perceived writing both on the inside and on the outside of the scroll. And this scroll had seven seals. Let's keep going to verse 2. It says, "And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and open it?'" So let's pause there. John saw first God the Father, and now he also reports seeing a strong angel who shouts in a very loud voice a question. And that question is, who is worthy, worthy to what, or worthy for what? And it's worthy to break the seals on the scroll and open it. So these scrolls have such value. These scrolls, this scroll, has such value and is so important that not just any being or any person can open it, but only one who is worthy is able to open it. And then continuing in verse 3, we hear, "But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it." Let's go back to the concept of worthiness. In looking for an individual or being to open the scroll so that the scroll may be read by that being or individual, several locations are examined. Heaven, because there are individuals and beings in heaven. This present earth, because there are individuals and beings on this present earth. And under the earth, because there are individuals and beings under the earth. However, no one in any of these three locations, no one in heaven, no one on the earth or under the earth, was able to open the scroll and read it. As a result of the failure to find an individual who was worthy to open the scroll, John the Revelator experienced bitterness. Let's hear that. Continuing in verse 4, "Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it." So not only is the scroll so valuable that only someone worthy is able to open it, it's so valuable that the reality of it not being able to be opened, the reality of there not being anyone or being worthy to open this important scroll, creates a negative emotion, a distressing emotion, specifically bitterness in John the Revelator. He was bitter that no one was found. No one who was worthy. This is very distressing to John the Revelator, pointing to the importance of the scroll. Then here in verse 5 we hear, "But one of the 24 elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals.'" So now John receives an instruction to stop weeping from one of the 24 elders. Let's talk about who were the 24 elders. Before the first statement of prophecy, there's the formal introduction to the book of Revelation. There are the verbatim words of Jesus Christ, where he shares seven words for the seven churches that existed at that time on the earth. That time is when John the Revelator was on the Isle of Patmos. And then we have John's report of heaven in chapter 4. So in John's report of heaven, in Revelation chapter 4, he describes the call. He reports the call that he had to come up here to heaven. And then he shares what he saw literally in heaven. So one of the things that he sees in heaven are the 24 elders. So let me share briefly a little bit from John's report on heaven in chapter 4. He says, "Then as I looked, I saw a door," starting with verse 1 of chapter 4, John says, "Then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this.'" And then continuing, John says, "And instantly I was in the spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it." I'm going to pause there and fast forward to get to the part about the 24 elders. In verse 4, it says, 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. So in heaven, God the Father sits on a throne. John saw this, and he also saw 24 elders also sitting on thrones that surround the throne of God the Father. And he tells us they were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. So these 24 elders that John talks about in the Seven Seals prophecy, they sit in heaven. They were sitting in heaven on thrones. Each of the 24 elders has a throne, and each of the elders is wearing a white garment, and each elder also has a crown on the elder's head. Further, we're told that from the throne, let me pause there. I want to stay where we are in the Seven Seals prophecy, but just wanted to communicate that these 24 elders described in the Seven Seals prophecy are individuals in heaven sitting on thrones that surround the throne of God the Father. So here we are in the Seven Seals prophecy in its movie trailer and words in verse 5, and one of those 24 elders says to John the Revelator, "Stop weeping." Okay, now what else does this particular elder say? The elder says, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals." So here, the elder asserts that Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. And so because Jesus Christ has won the victory, then he is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. Now, what's the victory? Victory over the authorities of this present world. Victory over the Antichrist, the false prophet, the devil, every person who has pledged allegiance to the devil, and even death itself. When he died on the cross, it was finished. He won the victory. That means that we have the ability to be reconciled to God, to regain our sonship, to be reborn, born again in the image of God, to be a son or daughter of God instead of a son or daughter of Adam. All who are in the image merely of Adam experience death, but all who have regained sonship and daughtership, all who are born again in the image of God, have eternal life. That's victory. Victory is transitioning from mortality to immortality, putting on an incorruptible body, a body that is a peak performance body, free from DNA errors, a body that will last for the eternities of eternities, a body, a physical body that houses your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and your spirit, and that is suitable for life on this present earth and the new earth to come. And so we're told the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, that's what John the Revelator was told and what we are hearing as readers of the book of Revelation. Look, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. So Jesus Christ not only was the Lamb of God at that time, but he is also the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He will serve in that role at his return, at the second coming of Jesus Christ. He returns as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah for what purpose? To continue on the throne. It says the heir to David's throne, Jesus Christ, according to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he comes as the Prince of Peace, and he will establish his government. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, and of the increase of his government and his peace there shall be no end. Okay, let's continue in verse 6. Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold Spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. The Holy Spirit, which is sevenfold, is sent out to every part of the earth. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. The mystery of the Godhead is that God is within Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is a part of Jesus Christ. And so God the Father is Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, and the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Now let's continue. It says in verse 7, he stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words: you are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. So in this movie trailer, not only are we in the present at that time where Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God breaks open the seven seals and takes the scroll. But then the movie trailer fast forwards in time beyond the present time, beyond the second coming, and to the commencement of the government of Jesus Christ. And it says, "You have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth." So, friend, we are in the movie trailer for the Seven Seals prophecy. We will continue this discussion and analysis on Sunday. I invite you, I encourage you to be with us as we continue discussion of the Seven Seals prophecy. And according to Jeremiah 33:3, I urge you to call out to God, because he will show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know. Thank you for being with me and with us today. I look forward to continued discussion and analysis of the Seven Seals prophecy. I hope that you will join us. Until next time, friend.